Hello and welcome to the 27th episode of the Red or Dead podcast. It's your boy Suki and I'm joined by the usual gang of Maria.
Hello.
How are you today, Maria?
I'm good. All good. Excited to be here.
And we've also got Ellie representing his Liverpool zip.
The retro attire, and I wear it with pride as always, but especially this week. But yeah, no, it's been a good week all around. So yeah, good to be here, as Maria said.
And we've also got the fan favourite, Kasim, who's hopefully in a happier mood this week.
We'll see.
You ain't got
much
to say this week,
has he? I've got loads to say.
And then we've got, last but not least, Mr. Dre.
Hello. Hello, world. How are you? I'm happy to be here.
Dre's really cheery today. The preamble, he's been laughing non-stop.
He's had two bottles of wine already.
I've had my wine, and I'm on the squash now. But I'm happy to be here.
Well, you had your wine today, or you just had your wine in general?
No, I had a little something. Don't worry.
Okay, a little something. A little preemptive aperitif.
Something to keep you merry.
Yeah. Indeed.
It's a Ferrero Rocher. I just raided my wife's Ferrero Rochers, and she opened it now, and it's like literally half empty already. So I think it's just pure 100% sugar rush at the moment. So I'm happy to be here.
Good man.
That's good. So how's everybody's week's been? What have they been doing with this latest week of lockdown? We're obviously just over 3 weeks away from the first, I guess, big set of restrictions being open, where gyms, outdoor dining and things like that open. So hopefully everybody should be feeling any better. Maria, let's start with you. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been good. It's been a really, really busy week. Everything has gone crazy work-wise. I'm actually doing, I would say, proper full-time hours, which is a bit of a shock to the system, to be honest. I'm waking up in the morning and like, oh gosh, I actually have to get out of bed and do stuff. And I went to my first face-to-face meeting for nearly 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had some time off work and I had, first face-to-face meeting, which went really well. It was a bit awkward at the beginning, so we couldn't work out, do we shake hands, what do we do? So we did a bit elbow bumping and then just smiling, took the mask off. I was like, I can't do a meeting with a mask on, so it had to come off.
Didn't he say it was on an aeroplane?
Yeah. Some of it was on an aeroplane. So I went to Kidzania, which is in Westfield in Shepherd's Bush, and it's essentially a city that's run by children. So it's a theme park. You take kids there and the kids run the city, so they get jobs in different things. And they've got, so in there there's a real aeroplane, a real British Airways aeroplane, and you can train to be cabin crew or a pilot or whatever. They've got flight simulators and stuff. It's really cool. They've got a football stadium. They've got loads of stuff, like a vet, a hospital. You can drive tour buses around the city. So yes, I had a meeting on an aeroplane and it was great. I felt quite choked up at one point. The aeroplane to leave, but it's only half an aeroplane, so that would have been a bit difficult, to be honest.
Slightly dangerous.
Slightly. Yeah. But, you know, like an alfresco experience.
Yeah, good for you.
The outdoors. Yeah, so all good. All good.
Nice. And Cass, as a resident travel writer, obviously things starting to open up again. Where are the destinations you're looking forward to?
I was just talking to Dre before we came on air about there's two types of destinations that are coming online now. There's ones that say, oh, you can come without any vaccinations, without any evidence of having been getting the jab or anything. And there's others that are really strict and saying, no, you need proof of everything and you need to have evidence of this and that. And I was saying I would go to the ones that are being really strict. I don't want to go to somewhere where it's a free-for-all because that is not the way to get through this, I don't think. So, yeah, places like, I think Iceland is being quite strict with it. So you can go there from, I think from 18th of March, they said, which is basically going to be when this comes out. But you need to have both doses of the vaccine to go, or you need to have a negative test and all that stuff. So I think a few weeks away for most people, but I think, yeah, Iceland's looking pretty good. Turkey, on the other hand, said you can come regardless. Just come. Just bring whatever you want. Bring your COVID, bring whatever you want, and it'll be fine. So,
yeah, but Cass, if you've been vaccinated, you're clean at least anyway. So it doesn't matter. Like, for you, put on a, I'm just saying, for those people who've been vaccinated, you know, they can pretty much go wherever they like.
You still have a chance of getting it. I know it's a very small chance, but obviously if you go to a country where there's none of it at all, as opposed to a country where it's in the population, you increase your chances. I think the thing they said today is that they've got up to the over 50s in terms of vaccines, but now they've run out. So I don't think anyone below 50 is going to get a vaccine or be asked to go in for a vaccine until May. So April is just a wipeout if you haven't already been invited to go.
Yeah, what they've said is, I think the EU are kicking off with supply. So they're saying after the 29th of March, anybody who doesn't have an appointment isn't going to get invited for another appointment because they need to make sure they've got enough stock for people to have their second doses in time. Otherwise, they're going to go over the 12 weeks. And obviously, that causes bigger issue than people just being delayed a month for their first dose. So, yeah, so they're trying to get the first 1 to 9 groups done by 15th of April, which they said they should do. And they said, if you got an appointment booked, you should be okay. But, yeah, there's a concern that, I guess.
What happens if you go over the 12 weeks?
Basically, you would have to get vaccinated twice again because the first, you need a booster for it to kick in. Otherwise, it just kind of evaporates and you're back again to square one. Yeah, basically. No. So, yeah.
Oh, well, at least
I'm worried, though, that they're going to forget. Like, it's all really up in the air, the whole process of it. So, I think if you've had the first, I think Dre and I have had the first one now. So I think we're going to have to chase them and make sure they give us the second one.
I think if you've had the Pfizer one, apparently you do have to chase because I think Pfizer stock's running lower because we've ordered way more of the AstraZeneca one. And obviously people are scared of the AstraZeneca one now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what to say about that really, but I suppose time will tell. It's one of those time will tell. But Suki, you've not had one yet, have you?
No. To be honest, the blood clots thing doesn't bother me with the AstraZeneca.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask about that. Yeah, if it bothers you or not.
I think the bigger issue for me, I'd prefer to get the Pfizer one, but I think that's because it's better efficacy against some of the other variants, things like the South African and the Brazil variants. But I think I don't have any issues in terms of safety with AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
Hey, the Johnson & Johnson one.
isn't that coming over here or not?
It is coming over here, but it's only one dose. I think you needed that.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the one.
I don't
ones.
Trust that one. I'd rather get a double dose.
No, but they got some serious wedge. So, you know, and they got a name behind them. They're not going to risk that stuff if it ain't happening. They got to sell. They got too many No More Tears to sell on the back of it. You know what I mean? They can't risk it.
Yeah, but it's not too long ago that they had their own little lawsuit just a bit ago. I'm trying to not say too much of it because I'm trying to keep
sponsored
the little points that I've got.
Sponsored by Johnson & Johnson, isn't it?
Yeah. But their Aveeno range is available at all good chemists and so. But I don't know. I just trust what the Pfizer.
We need Nivea to launch one.
Oh yeah,
Nivea. Yeah, oh yeah.
That'd be first. the official Liverpool vaccine.
Yeah, we get paid to have it. We get paid to have the vaccine. We have it on like on the set. You get paid to have it on the Liverpool bench at Anfield. You know, it'd be incredible, mate. We should. Yeah, that's a great shout. Yeah, come on, Nivea. Get your act together.
It only works in Europe.
We're open from the 12th. There's some shops and coffee shops.
12th is outdoor dining. So I was telling Suki that loads of places in London are closing the streets opening outdoor dining. So
love it.
Places are fully booked already. If you try to book it,
you might have some rats running around your feet, but still it's
on, man.
It's not like
you,
that.
That's what's going to happen. I saw it in New York. I saw that someone was sitting there eating their food and then this rat went from one bag to another and it was just like running in.
That's New York, where they leave their trash in the streets. They don't do that. They don't do that in London like that, you know.
Oh, punching.
Not ruining the mood, Ray.
No, I'm just saying.
Dre doesn't want anyone to go out and have any fun. He's like, no.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm staying home, so all of
I'm
you
I'm staying
have
home, so you got to stay home too.
You better stay.
But they've got. But most importantly, the most important thing that's going to be open is Ellie's gym.
Golf. To be honest, I've changed. For, no. Gym's important on the 12th, but before that, I've literally spent, I've literally upgraded my whole golf, everything, my golf clubs, my golf bag, new club. Mate, I am going to be so ready on the 29th. From the 29th, you can go play golf. I am going to be playing off scratch. Exactly. And I've got my last clubs coming this week, and then I'm going to be ready. And I'm going to be.
How bad would it be for you if one of us could beat you at golf?
It wouldn't be unbelievable, but it'd be very, Ellie, very upsetting.
Ellie, have you just taken it up because it's coming up in a week's time? It's something you can do.
I've played for a few years, but I mean, I've played for a few years, but I've never played consistently enough to get a handicap. I probably have 4 rounds a year, maybe, and then driving range like 4 or 5 times.
Well, I think I've got to go to a driving range first of all. So,
do Top Golf. Trust me,
Top Golf is Cass is right on that. That's probably the best thing to start.
That's a driving range, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a two-tiered one. You can even it's floodlit as well, so you can go at night. I think it's if you have a look at it, I'm sure you'll it's get an cool. idea of it. It's worth doing.
I saw there's one. I saw a baseball player. Mike Trout, I think he was.
Oh yeah,
the ball like it, I don't know if you.
Wow,
saw it.
I saw it.
He was hitting the ball like. Did he throw the ball up and hit it, or did he just whack it from the floor? Like
I think that one, he just whacked from the floor, but it just disappeared like into like the stratosphere.
And he went. He just was like boom, boom, yeah, boom, boom, and it was like I've never seen nothing like it. So I'm hoping that I will be able to do that. But
yeah,
I think golf lesson when he was in Marbella a little while ago.
Sorry, mate. where were you, mate?
Just in Marbella, private golf.
Oh, okay. Was it nice?
It was nice. Yeah. I had a PGA golf teacher.
Oh, okay.
It's not about me. He actually gave up on me quite quickly. Because he said, you're going for power over anything else. And you're
well
just,
done. I like you already. Definitely use my clubs.
I can feel the wind from your... and yet you hit nothing. So I definitely... But the picture I took on Instagram looks like I hit one out of the park.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's awful. Beautiful.
Do you get to wear like the funky golfing clothes?
No, I didn't wear that. I wore some. What was I wearing? I was wearing some tracksuit bottoms. Just clearly not dressed for it.
You're gonna
just
be allowed. To keep a low key. You're gonna be allowed on most golf courses.
I know. Don't worry. I'll come out with a full.
For various reasons.
I wouldn't say Tiger. Oh,
come on! Don't be like that. No, it's because he hasn't got a handicap.
I always have to steer this ship away from where Cass is leading it.
Because you've not got a handicap, that's why they wouldn't. They say, mate, to be honest as well, though, I tell you one thing.
Handicap.
That... Oh, don't say that.
Opinions.
There we go.
That's your fault, no. Ellie, that it's a
I know, I let it. I let
so why, have you changed, why have you changed your club, that you, your leisure club that you was in?
Who, me?
Your gym.
Why have you changed your gym?
I'm not changing my gym.
He said he's changed his clubs.
My golf clubs.
I was talking about your leisure center. Where I was wondering how we got here.
No, I meant I've changed my golf clubs because I thought. Yeah, because I thought. Anyway, yeah, I will be there. I will be back. David Lloyd's Derby, you hear me. I am coming for you on the 12th. And I'll be there. I will have my coffee and I will do my gym session and back. To be fair, you can even go. They're actually doing from the 29th. You can go and do outdoor sessions there and play tennis and stuff and use the outdoor facilities.
I'll head to Derby then.
Yeah, so I might have to get involved maybe. But golf is my main focus. Football's my main focus. I'm cutting you off.
Right, we've had a good week of football. So hopefully we've had 2 big wins. So let's start with the Leipzig game. And I've seen a lot of chatter on the Red or Dead podcast about how people are wanting more Maria time on the podcast. So let's start with Maria.
That's all me. I've posted all of that. That's just me posting stuff about myself.
No names.
No,
I think they're just waiting for Dre to cut her off every 5 seconds. Yeah,
no, you know what?
He'll say it on purpose.
I make Maria, like, you know, I show women what Maria has to go through to be able to get a word in edgeways.
Wow. So you're a special man. You're a special man, Dre.
Thank you for making me suffer. Caveman. so I can show women what I have to go
exactly.
through.
Exactly. And then make sure I don't get cancelled in the meantime.
Yeah, please, that's going to work. Let's go that way. Cool. Sorry, what was the question?
Leipzig game.
Leipzig. Yes. Yeah, so we won. We won. just trying to cast my mind back.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It was, before I talk about the actual game, it was just a good uplifting moment for us as fans, for the team, yeah, for Klopp, just for everyone. Everyone, I felt like everyone cares. I mean, I know it was probably just, you know, the Liverpool fans, really, but I felt like everyone had to know. I was talking to someone, I was like, they were just chatting away, and I was like, oh, Liverpool have just won. And that person decided they didn't want to talk to me anymore because they were an Arsenal fan. But anyway, so yeah, uplifting, confidence building for the team. And it was just the right time. It had to happen, because actually, if they'd have lost that game, I don't even know if I would be able to talk about them today. I would have been like, nah, it's just...
It would have been hard.
And it was the first time we saw Fabinho in midfield since, yes, October. What did you think of that?
Well, that it showed how that key, just what was missing. And I think I spoke quite passionately last week about all the things that are missing and what needed to happen, and you know, no excuses and so on. However, all the players played in position, and it clearly made a really big difference. For me, yeah, Fabinho was fantastic. Phillips was my star of the game. I thought he was incredible. A clear, you know, star, emerging star, I would say.
For the debut, right? Or was it?
It was his Champions League debut. Yeah. We had the goals from Mane and Salah, so it was great to see them scoring. Obviously, Salah scored all the time, but for Mane, it was great. I didn't think Mane's performance was good, was particularly amazing, but he scored, and that's all we needed. We don't need to go particularly down on him at this particular moment in time. He did score, which was great. He did also have that knock to the head. I mean, I was quite worried about that. He looked a bit confused and kind of staggered about for a while. I was surprised they didn't bring him off, actually, but anyway, he got there in the end and scored. Sorry. But, you know, they do make it difficult for themselves. There's so many missed chances and opportunities. They were creating chances, but they just don't blooming finish. It's so frustrating. And we're seeing it time and time again. So they played an amazing game of football. I even warmed to Thiago. I know. Whey! I realised listening back, I'm like a Thiago hater. I don't mean it. You know, I don't want to hate on him.
You mention him a lot.
I know. He does irritate me.
No, you know what? Maria's worse than Cass. Maria, like, as soon as you give away
really
the ball,
horrible things my phone buzzes. You should see some of the messages I was sending, I think, to Cass about it. No, actually, it might have been to Dre. The things I was saying about the poor guy a few weeks ago. The thing is, he went up. If we're like looking at a graph, he went up in my estimation the other day at the Leipzig game. But then, to be honest, Monday he started going back down again because
new boots. Man, he changed his boots.
No, it's those boots. The moves hunting boots.
He did actually change his boots. I'm bringing it. He did change his boots.
No. I'm not talking about his boots. I'm talking about his attitude.
Sorry. Okay, all right.
Sorry. Carry on. If boots change attitudes, then I don't know. But thank you. But in the Leipzig game, I felt like Thiago woke up and we suddenly saw what the fuss was about. I was like, yes, look at this guy go. I was well excited. I was so excited that day. I'm telling you, if someone had filmed me that day, it was like the most exciting moment of lockdown, to be honest. So he played a beautiful game. We saw some nice things going on, and it looked like he was slotting into the team. I thought Klopp summed it up well. He said, you know, it just summed up, that game summed up their season. They create chances, they play well, debatable. They play well, and they just don't finish every time. So that's a bit of a problem. But then there was other surprises. We had Origi come on, and we all sat. I mean, I know I groaned when he came on, that he was fun to come on, but then he assisted. So that was incredible.
Origi assisted. Let's just get that clear. It's called a pre-assist. Delusional talk in a minute. And I'll bring up Cass. What did you think of Nabi?
He was on the pitch. He had no real impact. He didn't. But I mean, in the second game where we won against Wolves, he was actually one of the poorest players on the pitch.
Wow!
He was. Naby Keita was one of the poorest.
Oh, come on! Don't be like that. Wow!
We saw two players come on.
Let's go back to Leipzig. Let's go back to Leipzig. Ox and Naby. Skip the games. Let's not skip the games. Go back to Leipzig.
All right, let's talk about the
actually, and don't forget, Tsimikas came on and it proved that he is a real player.
Tsimikas is a real player, although Ben Davis, I don't think, is, because they're already talking about selling him and he's not even played a single game yet.
I don't think we're ever going to see Ben Davis in the league.
I don't think so.
Give him a chance. I saw him in training.
You keep saying giving him a chance. I think Klopp has made his mind up and said this guy's not good enough.
Klopp's like, what is that? Klopp's
already giving the Robbo chat, actually, where he said, remember how long it took Robbo to get...
So you'll see. I trust
that. When he says that, I feel Edwards. The player's not good enough because not everybody's going to be a Robbo.
No, look at Fabinho.
He did the same.
The Leipzig game, just going back to that very quickly, I don't think we played amazing. I think we played okay. I agree with half of what Klopp said, that I agree with him when he said that we create a lot of chances. And even when we've been awful, we've still created the odd chance that we should have put away.
That's true.
But we missed a lot of chances in that game. So Mane missed quite a few.
Jota missed loads, actually.
Jota missed a lot as well.
He's just first game.
So I think that still is a problem. It was also a problem in the Wolves game. Again, we won it, and that was a goal from Jota. But we're just missing a lot of chances, which we need to be a lot more clinical about. But those are the negatives. But the positives are Phillips definitely in both games. He was really, really good. I think Wijnaldum, you guys have got to put respect on his name. All of you who have been hating on him. Suki and Ellie especially.
I don't hate on him.
He had a good game.
Hang on. If you're going to start...
We're talking about the Leipzig game first.
Let's start with that. If you're going to start singing and dancing after 10-minute cameo from a player who did absolutely nothing... You've got to be nine times more excited about Wijnaldum because he did it for the whole game.
Nine times more excited.
Yeah, he did it for...
Gini had a really good game, but for me, the other two midfielders were better in
Fab
and Thiago.
Not Thiago.
Yeah. He was in Leipzig game. Come on,
they
Castle
were about neck and neck, but Thiago was absolutely awful against Wolves compared to Wijnaldum. Wijnaldum won before him. But that's the point with Wijnaldum. He is available and ready every single game.
Six and a half out of ten every game, which is good.
He's not. Would you give him 6.5 in the Wolves game?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
Our midfield was dreadful against Wolves.
I don't think Gini played well in the Wolves game.
No,
he played better than Thiago, is my point.
Yeah, but our midfield was dreadful in that game. That's what I'm saying. Leipzig game.
Go on, tell them the changes.
I think we've done the Leipzig game to death now.
I haven't said anything about the Leipzig game.
I know what nonsense you're going to say.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Suki.
Tell me to be honest.
Can tell me to be honest if he likes. I'm always saying what I think. And what I think is, especially the Leipzig game, is that there's a stark contrast from the first one where we won 2-0. I generally thought in the first game we won 2-0. I actually said that you got it on record. I said we could have lost that 5-0, actually, because they gifted us both goals. Mm-hmm. I thought this is a game this time round. They had a couple of half-fist chances, which they might have done better. But we had about a good 10, solid 10 chances or so that we should have definitely scored, and as well as the two we took. So, like, you look at the times that Mane, and Salah got mixed up, Jota hitting to the side, netting and open goals almost 2-3 times, over the bar. This was a game that, in fact, we were so deserved to win that game that the official RB Leipzig Twitter said, well done, Liverpool, best of luck in tournament, you deserve the winners. That's what the official Leipzig Twitter account said that. It was not a debate. And I thought the first game they said, and I agreed with them, that there wasn't much in it football-wise. It was just a score. And I thought that was true. But what we did against Leipzig on last week was a completely different kind of Liverpool performance, in that we controlled the game through the midfield. And I know we talk about Wolves, but that was one of the problems I had. But we actually controlled the game through the midfield. And one of our best forms of attack, as Klopp always says, is the counter-press. So what would happen, instead of it being an attack on our goal, Fabinho was so good, it became another attacking opportunity because they were committing men forward. Fabinho would intercept and send us on the attack straight away, and it'd be one pass away from the forwards and suddenly winning on goal again. And it happened on numerous occasions. And Thiago, Fabinho would break it up, Thiago would step in, play that pass, and we'd be on the attack. So I don't think it was anything to get, like, the performance itself wasn't anything to get incredibly excited about, I didn't think. But what it did show for me was the green shoots of recovery when we get the right players.
How many times have you said that this season? How many times have you said that after every single victory?
I haven't said that.
Yeah, you have. Bare times.
No. I've
said the old Liverpool. It felt like just a dominant performance to me.
Leicester felt like that. Wolves felt like that. Spurs felt
like
that.
But they were. No, they were though. But that was pretty. But then we got more injuries after that. What I'm saying is that I think it has to be taken in the context of the injuries. And everyone says injuries make a difference. But for the very reason that we were good at Leipzig, it's a very no. You can't say that because the reason Fabinho didn't play in midfield is because we had too many injuries at the back.
No. This is where I disagree. The reason Fabinho didn't play in midfield is because of Klopp's stubbornness. Yeah. You could have put him in midfield a long time ago.
Yeah, but who would he play? Who would he play at the back?
He played Phillips and he played
Trevor. And Williams, though.
Yeah,
you say he played Williams at the back.
Phillips has been benched when he's played Hendo and Pham at the back.
Exactly.
I would never
have put in Fabinho once we had defenders back in the team. The minute we got them in January, and to be honest, I don't think we got.
But they were ready, though. They were injured. Davies was injured, and then Quebec came. Phillips got injured again. Phillips was injured again. That's why Fabinho played centre back.
He's
been on the bench. He's been on the bench for various games, which he should have started.
I agree with that.
It should have been.
But that's in retrospect. But I think that.
Yeah, but you've got to say, if you're going to say injuries, part of the reason we've got so many injuries is because players have been played out of position.
I agree. And then
Henderson
didn't get rested because we weren't playing Fabinho in midfield when we had a chance to do it. These things have added up. I get it. There's a case to be made for a certain number of injuries affecting the team, and I agree with that. But you can't give Klopp a carte blanche to do whatever he wants and play players out of position because we saw what happens when you play players in position. Kabak and Phillips are not world-beating defenders, but they are defenders. It makes a difference. Fabinho is a world-beating midfielder.
Yes,
he's
but
an average defender.
Yes.
What you have to do is play the best players in their position and play players in their position full stop.
Yeah, but you say that, but then against Man U, we played Williams at the back instead. Because as an actual defender, and he was horrendous. He pretty much lost us that game. Not intentionally.
Williams isn't ready.
But that's what I'm saying. But there's been times that he's gone for Fabinho and Hendo at the back, you know, is when we haven't, either one of them's coming back from injury or a player's not quite ready. He's dropped
Phillips from Phillips.
No, maximum. Okay, Suki. But maximum, like, two games or something. He's made that.
I would say the two games where he should have played the centre backs.
Okay, not, two games.
I would say Brighton and Fulham, we should have been playing our centre backs where they are at the very least. I understand, Cass, I understand from another point of view where he's trying to play safe and he's thinking, okay, these guys aren't ready, so they're not used to our system and all those types of things. But retrospect, he should have just put people in their rightful position because you have that protection there. From Fabinho and Hendo.
I understood what he was doing towards the start of when we got the injuries because you think, all right, we need senior players in there and they need to shore things up. But they were so shaky from the start, especially Fabinho. I remember he had two or three good games and I said at the time, this guy is a midfielder. He's going to start giving away stuff. And he gave away goals. He gave away...
The Chelsea game. He was solid in the Chelsea game.
He had one or two good games, but at the end of the day, he was giving away stuff. And that's the point where you have to make the decision and say, right, we've got these defenders on the bench. And his other mistake...
And we did it again.
He went ahead with Williams instead of Phillips when I think we all saw them play a couple of games.
Man United Cup game.
He gave Reece Williams and Phillips a chance towards the start. And I think... I was going to say it was quite obvious, but even you guys were beginning to favour Williams ahead of Phillips. And I think now you've both realised that you were wrong to say that.
Cass, let me just say this, though.
Was Team Williams. But
let's just say this.
No, it's quite obvious.
I'm not buying that. Look, all I'm saying is that before Williams in the Champions League got us clean sheets when no one else was at the time.
Did you forget this? He was called Phillips.
Ellie, you've done this over and over again. You look at results, you don't look at performances.
I look at performances, not results. I look at performances, not results.
No, you don't. Yes, I do.
Because this is my argument.
How did I know straight away that Phillips was better than Williams? you were looking at performances because
no, but you're not looking at footballing stuff. It's not a black and white. It's not a black and white thing like that.
I think Williams is better. Well, the reason why we're favouring him,
Phillips gave the ball away so much on the ground against Wolves. Phillips, when he's trying to pass the ball against Wolves, you saw his efficiency in that area.
But he got torn. He got torn a new one against Man United, and that was the end of him.
Yeah.
And Villa, when we played Villa kids, that was the one when I said Williams is done. Because he was so bad against the Villa kids. You know what it is?
I would say this. I'll just be honest. I think I see both your points here. I think at the time when you're in the trenches, you can only kind of judge, and you want to bring in your most experienced players because they've performed quite well pre-Christmas. So I get that, and I understand his thinking. In retrospect, definitely for the two games before, the two games were Brighton and but at least those two games, because our league position would be a different picture altogether. So against Brighton, against Fulham, we should have been playing defenders where they should be playing. But at the end of the day, we are where we are. What I would say is I've got a different take on that.
Me, it's the Chelsea game, to be honest. It's the Chelsea game, that's the one
I just think we got outplayed. I'm just being honest with you. I think we got completely, utterly outplayed.
Yeah, but why did we get outplayed, though? Because Fabinho wasn't in field. That's the game where we really...
It'll be interesting to see if we get them in the quarters. Then we'll see. I would like to see us against them again, because obviously they are dominant.
They're through.
I would like to see... See them and Bayern's there. Oh Lord!
Yeah,
Bayern were already through blatantly.
But I would say this: that my take on it, just quickly on the RB game, is that I would have seen they picked the wrong lineup. If they had picked Heechan and Cliver, that would have been a problem for us because those guys were getting in behind.
Yeah, pace. And
so I wasn't worried when he chose his normal lineup, because it's like all in front of Phillips and Kabak. And then obviously they got back up with Fabinho. But I just when he brought those two on, then I started to worry. And I think that little that young Patrick Cliver is underrated.
Patrick Cliver.
I know, it's weird. I love his dad playing. It's weird. So I just think that in that we got away with one a little bit more. I don't think it was as dominant as people were saying, because obviously, you know, towards the end of the game, we was hanging on. So I would say for that I didn't really believe that much. I was more impressed with the Wolves one because Wolves actually got strikers.
Oh, I thought we played poor.
With the result, I was more happy with the result with that because at the end of the day is that I'd like to see, you know, if we are moving on to that, Tuki, I don't want to jump ahead. but we didn't play as well. I wasn't impressed with our play.
Let's go to the Wolves game.
So I mean, I wasn't impressed with the play. I was impressed with the determination and some of the decision making from Klopp, like, you know, taking off players at the time when I think Thiago Lucky didn't get sent off. He's always making a foul in the first 10 minutes, and then like, as Maria always points out, and then he's like, we're nervous for the rest of the game. But on the most part, like, we did handle majority of the stuff that they actually threw at us. But, like, I was so impressed with Phillips. That game there he is a Premier League player.
Yeah.
And I think that is unfair, because if his name was like Van Dan or something like that, then people would be raving. And I think because he's just Phillips from, where is he, from Bolton or something. There's a little bit of a bias against some of the English players. He is very good. He's a very, very good player. And I feel safe with him there.
I think he's good. I wouldn't go very, very good.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's like Van Dijk, like, but I'm just saying he can't pass.
Yeah, but if
he's playing for another team like West Ham, Brighton, Villa, or someone like that, then we wouldn't even bat an eyelid.
Fair enough, he is that good.
He is.
I'm happy having Phillips as a defender on a bench to come off.
Yeah, same.
What I was most impressed with, you know where I'm going with this, is my striker Jota.
I told you, he missed a lot of chances.
Got to remember, like, he's coming back. He's just literally coming back after a long term injury, and he's come back and he's just warming up. He's just getting the rust off, and look how lethal that guy is.
I mean, like, he's good.
Look at that.
He's the best finisher at the moment.
I'm telling you.
Out of our lot, he is.
If you're going to give someone one chance,
yeah, it's him.
It's going to be him.
Yeah, man.
For me, anyway. He still might miss it. He might still miss it. That's the problem.
Well, anyone could miss it. Messi could miss it. But
no, there's some players that just don't miss. Yeah, even
he,
I reckon
he will hit the
Jimenez,
target.
If he gave one chance to Jimenez, he's scoring.
He's not doing what Salah does, which I'm not knocking Salah in any way form or way. And
you just did.
No, I'm just saying, like, Salah sometimes tries to take the ball in. There's certain passes that you know Salah's going to hit first time. And when he does, that's fine. With Jota, he always surprises me with his finishing.
It's true, that's true.
Always.
That's
true. There's never a time I think, oh, he's going to do this. Like, his finishing is ridiculous.
I want to ask you a question, because when you host it,
is he being slagged off Jota?
No, listen, you don't get a chance to answer this. So let me ask you a question. two midfielders came on, and I think we've all described them as sick notes because they kind of dragged a team down. But one of them had a good performance, and one of them was actually had a bad performance. So I'll let you talk about them. Can you talk to us about Ox and Naby Keita, who came on in that game, and who had a better game?
Okay. Suki, 1 second before you answer.
No, stop.
I promise. What I'm going to say is, please don't let Cass's negativity inflect your system. That's what I'm saying. And I'll leave it there. Carry on.
So I'm going to start with before the subs, actually, with the current three. Yep. Actually, in contrast to the game before against Leipzig, I thought all three weren't very good. Thiago is probably the worst of them, and
I agree with
he made me nervous. He's going to get a red.
Yeah, same.
Good that he came off. I do think though that what I saw of him in the Leipzig game is enough for me to give him a chance going forward. And I don't think Gini was as good as you were banging on about, Cass. I think
he was our best player in that game.
Fabinho locked off.
I'm not with you on that one. Normally I'm with you with Team Genie, but not in Wolves.
Anyway, we're not even talking about those midfielders. I'm going to let Suki waste time with these midfielders. I want to talk about the other midfielders.
I was glad that they came off. I thought
he just likes to digging in Genie. That's what it is.
Yeah, I know. We weren't even talking about them. Talk about the other ones.
We talk about sandwiches.
Okay, let's talk about Ox. I'm going to start with Ox. Ox surprised me. He has a really good game.
He surprised me.
I've read a few posts recently that Ox is going to... They're trying to get rid of him. They want to get rid of him.
I think they are.
Fake news.
But he really impressed me. He clearly had something to prove. Is that the Ox we saw in that Champions League run before he got injured against it was old school Ox. And he clearly had something to prove. He's driving the play boards. And I think I text Dre straight away saying leader Ox.
Nego Cass could say something bad about leader Ox coming in and
Cass
leading our team to victory.
Cass is all about relatives.
Even Maria said it.
Who he could dislike more. Now, he obviously dislikes a certain player more than Ox. And Ox is playing well.
He had a chance. Both of them are sick notes.
He was on longer. Naby was on longer, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. He was on longer and he had less impact.
Let me get on to Naby then. I don't think Naby played a bad game. I don't think he was as good as he was in the 10 minutes against
All the reviews said he was awful.
I've got a review here today that I read.
It's your biased African Twitter, mate. It doesn't count.
Why you gotta be racist, number one? Why you gotta be racist?
It doesn't count. Because you keep posting on the chat.
No, this is my friend.
Posting this guy who's got Naby as his avatar.
The positive reviews for Keita are from Ellie.
Yeah, exactly.
And all the negative ones are from
Keita. It says he is similar to Zidane. Today.
Order in the court.
Liverpool midfielder Naby Keita hailed as squad player.
Absolutely preposterous.
I swear. That was today. I didn't write that. 17th of March, 2021, 5:25.
Like,
he's better than Zidane.
Not my words.
This is new football boot.
I didn't say it's better than Zidane. He said it's similar to.
If this is where, this is the same thing I've told you before. When someone says something that's stupid, you discount everything they say. It's like when you kept on saying that we could still win the league when we're 20 odd points behind Man City. It undermines the whole argument. When someone says Naby Keita is similar to Zidane,
you can't say it on one side and discount it on the other.
Let's deal with reality.
What's your reality?
This is an absolute real position. I'll let Maria.
Bear in mind that Ox came in. You haven't even mentioned. You haven't even explained. No, no, but you said two midfielders came on. Ox came on as a false nine. No, explain it though. No, explain it properly. Ox came on as a false nine.
Ox came on as a false nine.
No, but you can't say that because Ox came on in that game as a false nine. He was playing Firmino's position. You can't compare him playing a false nine with a player playing midfield, especially when the whole midfield has struggled all game. You can't blame it because what's he supposed to do?
Ox is.
It does. I agree with that. Back to the question.
Cam Ox and Cam Keita.
Cass, why do you think Keita played badly? Because I personally didn't think he played badly.
All the reviews said, and also basically, Ox played better than Naby was my main point. Ox played better than Naby. I don't care about positions and all that. We're talking about midfielders. Ox played better than Naby. I see more in Ox than I do in Naby.
Well,
and this is my question.
Did Naby play worse than Thiago?
But you said you see a future for Thiago.
I'm just saying, do you think he played worse than Thiago? And do you think Naby was the worst that played that position?
Milner played well in that game.
What are you watching?
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Milner looked his age.
He just killed it.
I got a text message collectively from every single one of them saying he shouldn't be playing anymore.
The question is this, right? Genie's leaving. We're going to have a gap.
Not yet.
He's gone. This is where you have to start dealing with reality. These are the very likely situations.
Come back.
We're looking at midfielders. I think we're going to sign at least one, if not two. So that means out of Ox and Naby, if they're both fit, who are you going to bring on first in midfield?
And Milner could be going, you know.
Milner, he's gone as well. So yeah, I think we definitely need to shore up midfield. Okay. Now, they're both sick notes, so they both got that against them. And I'm going to, even though I think Naby's injured more, I have to say they both got that note above their head. So they've got that negative on them. They're both sick notes. You can't say that Ox is not a sick note because
he's been ready to report for duty for a long time.
He hasn't been given the chance
to be able to show you what.
You were complaining when he came on for the Chelsea game. You were crying about that too.
He was awful. But this is the point, right? I think we have to get rid of some sick notes. And I think we can only keep one of them. So, Maria, out of the two, you can only keep one. You can only keep one because
out of Ox and Keita.
Yeah, because we've got to be clinical now. This is an interesting question, actually.
Go on.
Who would I keep? Yeah. Oh, you're not gonna like it, Cass. I'd keep Keita.
Oh my gosh, Maria, you beautiful woman.
Hold on a second. I would. Why would you get rid of Leader Ox?
You need to make a defense. Dre,
why would you get rid of Leader Ox?
I've told you a million times why I would get rid of that.
Yeah, but you can do the presenting as well.
Go and retire. You can't present and play for. You need to be focused on the game, not presenting.
I think you saw. My defense of Ox is that I think
one game. It was one game though.
He came back for like five minutes, and he's the person who carried us through all the way. And he was actually on the fit pitch for about 15 minutes, including injuries.
I'm not saying he's terrible. I just think it's time for him to go.
No, it's not. If I had to choose one or the other, it is Keita. The problem I've got with Keita, and I'm the most level-headed here. About Keita in particular.
Oh, okay.
You hate Keita. No, don't, let's not talk about him. You hate Keita. Cass hate Keita, so no matter what he does, he's going to be against him. Now, I am.
And what's the flip side of that? Who's really positive?
And then you've got the other person who's just like number one fan.
And Susie. He's better than Zidane and Bruno Fernandes.
The Zidane thing was out.
Definitely better than Bruno Fernandes.
And Bruno Fernandes.
No, I didn't write Bruno Fernandes. I didn't write them.
At the moment.
He said they were similar.
No, there's no similar. The only time
that they both speak French, they do speak French.
Might live in the same street as him somewhere. Yeah, but that's
they both speak French. They both speak French, and they're both going very bored very quickly because.
Wow.
Have you seen
him? Okay. He might be losing his hair. He's losing his ability.
What's his haircut? Come on. Because Oxford Fade game, ridiculous. But I'll be honest.
Fading shots over the bar.
Dare you? Because he set up a goal that was wrongfully disallowed.
That led to the keeper.
So that would have been the end of that. That would have been
for the keeper, maybe.
No.
That was Oxford's fault.
No, but Salah's goal, which was wrongfully disallowed. It should have been a goal.
Why was it wrongfully disallowed?
It was offside.
Wrongfully disallowed.
No, because the referee should have said, you know what? That should have been offside, but that pass, though, from Ox.
No, it's clear. Yeah, okay.
Pass, though, from Ox. My lord.
And you're the level-headed one.
Yeah, the level-headed
one. No, about Keita. I think the problem I've got with Keita and why I would cash in now is because I just think that there's a lack of confidence caused by these amount of injuries. And I think that I've seen enough now to be able to say, okay, well, you know what, when key players who maybe have like two, maybe three season left in them, like Hendo and people like that, go down, then can I rely for the rest of the team to be able to step up? And then he's not there.
You rely on Ox? Because it's maybe between those two.
No, you can't.
This isn't about Ox, I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's exactly about
Ox.
Let me say why I would pick Ox ahead of Naby, because you're right. That both of them, like I said, are sick notes. You cannot rely on them to be the third part of that midfield. I think we all agree Fabinho's going to be in there, Henderson's going to be in there. Both of them are so injury prone that they cannot be considered as the likely starter as part of that three. So it's going to be Thiago, and I think we'll buy someone else as well who will jump ahead both of them in the queue. So you have to ask yourself, who's going to come on and have the biggest impact off the bench? And it's those games in the Champions League when Ox was at his peak form where I thought, this guy can come in and he can make a real impact straight away. And not just passes and stuff, but goals. I want goals from that kind of midfielder. And Ox has got goals in him when Naby Keita doesn't. So if it comes down to the both of them, both injury prone, but who's going to be able to support the midfielders and have an impact straight away when he's fully fit? It's got to be Ox for me.
Can I answer the question now? And rationally as well, yeah, and coherently. I won't go.
Say Ox.
No. Yeah, exactly, man. Could you imagine? No, I'll be honest, though. I think I keep both, and I mean that, by the way. No, I mean that, because... Let me speak, because I think Ox actually covers a lot of positions, right?
Yes.
You know, if Ox is fully fit, he can cover both wings, and now he showed the other day he can play false nine, and he can cover midfield as well. And you need to have... Milner's that versatile player for us at the moment, going midfield and back. Used to be, and he'll be gone. And then you got Gini, who plays all the midfield, but that's what he does. If he goes, that's another kind of versatile player gone as well, right? And I think you need a player who's kind of happy coming on off the bench, who could kind of do a lot of jobs, you know. And I think that Ox is incredible for that. However, there's a control element that Naby brings to a game that actually none of our midfielders, bar maybe Hendo, Fabinho. Hendo Fabinho. Wijnaldum used to have it, but I rate Wijnaldum. I think he's just really tired or something, but he's far too easy in games.
He's 29. I'm not going to talk about Naby, but in defense of Gini, and because I feel like he gets a hard ride from a lot of you guys. He's 29, so he's not exactly old. he's younger than Hendo, for example. And he's played every single game this season.
Loyal.
So if he's tired, you can't say that he's not performing because he's tired or he deserves to be kicked out because he's tired. Because
ungrateful.
Of course he's tired because he's covered for your favourites who have been injured constantly.
You said you wouldn't talk about it, but you did anyway. But I'll let that slide.
I'm talking about Henderson. I'm talking about Thiago, who was injured. I'm talking about all of the midfield have been injured apart from Gini. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, a whole midfield. Okay, anyway.
For you, Ellie, before you carry on. If you keep both, that stops us getting somebody. And if they're both injury prone, that's the problem.
It doesn't because, look, the reason it doesn't, let me tell you why it doesn't, because we're already losing other midfielders anyway. I tell you what thing that's going to happen that I believe is we're going to get a genuine number 10. I believe we're going to get a genuine number 10. And I think that's what Cass thinks that Ox does. And that's why, yeah, if no, I had to choose, I definitely, if that was the case, I'd definitely have to let Ox go, to be honest. Because, no. Because a genuine Ox isn't, we're looking at most number 10 used to be a position that every top team in the world had an absolute genius at. You know, we did as well at one point. A couple of times, you know, we've had it. And we haven't had that since Coutinho left, essentially. And then what it means is that Ox did that job time and time again in the first season and then got injured. And then since then, he's done it in bits, like he won the goals in the Champions League and stuff. But then if he had the option to bring in like a top class attacking a full on number 10, because Ox, let's be honest, he isn't really a number 10. You know,
I mean, for the record, I don't think I've ever said he's a number 10. And I don't.
No, I'm not saying you. 10. No, I'm not saying you. But that's what he
no, was almost said, that I player think for that he can fill that role. I don't. If okay, anyone's going to play that false nine role that you kind of implied, then that means Bobby has to go, because Bobby is supposed to be. We've all said that he's not going to be a starter, and you keep saying that he's a deep lying or he's an attacking midfielder, or he can play from that position. That's the Bobby position, and.
You seem to forget that our best scoring was done when all four and Coutinho was there. So when it was Mane, Salah, Firmino and Coutinho, we were destroying teams up front. They were most devastating.
Firmino's not coming back in this team, is my point. Is that even if we get a number
even if it's your
three up front, we're going to play with someone else, not Firmino. Okay,
even if it's Jota, what I'm saying is you can still have a Coutinho-like player and those three. That's what I'm saying. It still works because we did it with Coutinho.
I have to 100% agree that what we need more than any other position probably is a number 10, because
and that's just why I think Ox
so many different avenues. But if you get a number 10, and like you said, we're going to play with a front three as we did, that means there's even less opportunities in midfield. So you definitely
But Naby, the thing about Ox is, like I said, he's deployed out wide sometimes. He's deployed, you know, like you said, he actually has played that. He played the striker position as a backup, and we do need a squad. And you think that. You know, I don't know how many years he's got left. That's the big question. If he's only got a couple of years, Ox, if he's only got a couple of years left,
many
I can't
years,
see
many
him.
Years. I think it shows you
2024.
The power and the control. And then when he came on, Salah was just like, oh, finally, I'm going to get some service. Literally.
Oh, when Naby came on. Yeah, I saw that, actually.
Naby. No, Naby's done nothing. No,
Naby is assisted Salah more than anyone else in the last season. Watch. Naby's assisted Salah. Every time, look at the stats on there.
I've
when
got to
they
go
play.
To independent.
Yeah,
go for it. Do it. Please do.
I'm going
to
that Fabrizio. Or whoever his name is as well.
Nabilionaire.
That's my favorite. Nabilionaire is my guy.
My view is Keita has outplayed Ox generally this season in the time they've been on. Ox has done well in that one Wolves game. But before that, he's been pretty garbage. Like every time he's come on, and I'm a huge Ox fan.
Fair play. I
like Ox, and I'm desperate for Ox to do well.
But my talking facts.
My worry is Ox is doesn't have it anymore.
No, but he's already shown you that he has got it.
But only once.
And he's once been playing. When you play Ox in his rightful position, which is
up front,
on the right, or just behind the front three as a support, then as an attacking midfielder. Then he's one of the best in our squad.
Chelsea game. What did he do in that Chelsea game?
No, but he didn't play there in the Chelsea game.
He did. That's exactly
on the left hand side.
No,
he played on the left hand side of midfield. He definitely was.
Was he?
He keeps on playing him. He uses and abuses Ox, and a loyal dog comes back and just waiting for his opportunity. And now you'll see, because I'm telling you now, the first time, right? When we've got our bet is. Oster's got to score two more goals to catch up with Minamino, right? Is that right?
He's got to score two at least. Minamino scored two since he left Liverpool. That doesn't even include the ones he scored when he was at Liverpool.
But
he's playing every game, though. I don't see how that's fair. But, all right, cool.
But you've got to work your way back into the squad. You can't be saying,
Time you'll see. Especially against Arsenal. He'll score against Arsenal when he comes on.
I think we should have this conversation in about 6-7 games' time. Because we need to first see if any of them gets injured again.
No, but we've done that. We've done that.
Fair point. It's not about the international.
I think it's clear that Keita's going to get injured again.
I think out of the
don't
two,
be like that. Don't hate.
The problem, the problem with Ox is the long-term injuries. If he gets injured, he's out for a long term.
Exactly.
But it's Naby's injuries are just like, oh, he's out for this two
every 2 minutes
because he's
every
got a knee injury.
Out.
He's got a thing. He's definitely going to get injured between now and the end of the season.
Ox gets injured in battle. You know, Ox gets injured.
If Cater gets one more
training
at the end of the season, I think he should go. If Cater gets one more niggly injury.
Yeah, but you said that in October, and he's been injured five times since then.
I've already done the emoji.
Yeah, he's done
it.
Dre can't change.
Dre, let's just clarify right now. So you are definitely Cater out. Just say it. I want to hear it. Say it now.
Say it.
I've done an emoji. I can't go back from
it. No. Say it then. Say it. Let's have it on record.
I think I'm done. I had enough.
What does that mean?
But it doesn't mean that he's not. I just clarify this. Yeah. Not on Cassie's thing where he doesn't think he's a good player. I think he's a very, very good player.
I
would rather like a Basuma or someone else come in who's reliable.
Oh, okay, now we're talking.
And will play every game. And would contribute to making the midfield stronger rather than someone being out every 3 weeks or so.
Right, let's go on transfers. Let's start with Maria. In terms of, I guess, we've got a few weeks now till our next game for Arsenal. So let's use this chance to talk about potential transfers and who we want to bring in at the end of the season. We've obviously come up off a couple of good games. We've seen Ox starting to do well. We've seen Naby, I thought, do well in Leipzig.
What a guy.
Wow, you've really got some Naby hate.
He hates him.
Thanks. Maria, thank you.
Not good enough.
Yeah. I do agree that Naby should probably go because of the injuries and he needs to go elsewhere and maybe it will work for him better. But I also do feel for him. Oh, sorry, we've gone back to Naby again. He's like the ongoing thing.
You can't help it, can you? It's not brilliant.
If you want to talk about transfers and you want to start by saying Naby out, that's fine. You can do that. No one's going to stop you. It's fine.
List of people that really ought to go. Naby is on there, but I do see something in him, though, you know. And the other day, I don't know, I'm torn with Naby. There's something quite likeable about him, and I think that's the problem. He's got a bit of a baby face.
He's sweet, isn't he, man? He's a magical, magical little dude.
No, you've got to keep Ox because of his fade. Ox's fade game is Naby's fade. Naby and Mane's haircuts are absolutely scandalous.
No, but they're natural. They're natural.
No, Mane's haircut. Look at Mane's haircut.
It's a natural regression of hair.
When Mane has a fade,
it's not his fault. It's a natural regression. Nature's cut his hair.
No,
you can't blame him because Naby's
talking from transfers.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
No, they've got personal haircut, hairdresser.
No, it's natural. No, nature's attacked his hairline. You can't blame a man because nature's.
Who are you talking about, Mane? Who are you talking about,
Naby? Both.
Nah, Naby's haircut is disgraceful. Yeah. It's disgraceful. Yeah, it's patchy, my patch. It's like my grass outside.
He's not commercial enough. You're always talking about how much money we're making and which players are commercial and stuff. Naby's not commercial with that haircut.
Naby must be. What's that on Naby on that?
Naby gets more likes.
How much money is he on? How much is his weight, do you reckon?
Just only a cheeky 120,000. 120,000.
A leader Ox is having to really get count his pennies for all the lower services.
Count his pennies. He's on 100,000. What do you mean count his pennies?
I don't know how he survives. I really don't.
How do you survive on 200,000 a week, Dre? How's it like?
It's not about me. Carry on.
No, it was actually Maria again.
I'm sorry. Women's League. There you go.
Naby's on 90, it says.
90. Okay, sorry.
Ox is on 120.
Oh, wow.
Okay, other way around. Sorry. Okay,
how much is Genie on?
Genie is low on 80.
75, isn't it?
That's ridiculous.
Genie should leave just because you lot take
it. That is something we should talk about. This is ridiculous, the amount or the fact that I really like Genie and I think he's very good. But I have seen recently, I do think he's, and it probably is tiredness and whatever, but, you know, sometimes he doesn't seem present in the game. But the fact that he gets paid so, sounds really stupid, so little, but the fact that he gets paid, you know, in comparison to the others, what he gets paid is ridiculous. So to be honest, Cater and Ox earning more than Genie, who is present every game, he's captain, he's this, he's that. It is absolutely criminal. It really is. And I can see why that's the sticking point with this contract.
Yeah, I think Milner is also on a lot more than...
he's on a lot. Milner's on like 100...
120.
Yeah, yeah, 120, yeah.
But then I suppose Milner's, you know, he's kind of a...
No, but he renewed at the right time. Forever. See, the clever thing
he's
is...
He's renewing kind of year on year, isn't he?
Exactly. With, whereas Genie renewed just at the just the wrong time, really, because he renewed just before we started really smashing it. So his like his renewal was before we'd won anything. So he got the one... Yeah. So that's why his is lower. If he just renewed, no, literally,
I
like
he even renewed, you know,
he did
an extension. He didn't.
Because remember, there was a season that he was going to go. Do you remember that everyone was saying, "Oh, he's going to go this summer," that, and he extended it exactly. It wasn't a full like. Wasn't like it wasn't. Yeah. It was a couple of years, I think it was on top. But yeah, but they adjusted it. But obviously, that was before we'd actually been seen as a true contender to you know to topple Man City and you know and to win things in Europe. But
yeah, are there any players that you want to see come in?
Haaland.
Now
100%. I think he's the one. He's the one.
Can we get Haaland? I'd love Haaland.
I think we can. He's not going to go to Man United. That's all just not going to happen. But he might go City.
That's worrying. His dad played there, though. That's the problem.
But that's why he won't go to
United.
He won't go to United.
Yeah, which is great.
He hates Roy Keane as well.
Exactly.
There's no way in hell that you'll go to United. Absolutely.
No, he won't. Is but that then that kind of leaves Liverpool open as a potential.
Maria, this is what I would say. Is that I challenge especially Cass and Ellie with these pie in the sky, you know, transfers.
I'm ready for this.
I think I worry that people are getting out of pocket. Like we're not that type of club to. Be like, how much is he going to cost?
Haaland
wages.
It'd be like 250, 220, yeah. Something like that. Like similar to Salah, whatever Salah's on.
So this is what I'm saying is that you can one of those guys, you know, are going to go. So
Bobby
Salah's not going to. No, Bobby's gone. Bobby's on the bench at the very least. But
Salah might go. You know, Salah's Salah might go.
If you're not going to have them. You know, Haaland and Salah in the same team on those types of wages.
Okay, I can tell you exactly why I disagree financially. Financially, I'll tell you why. Why? Let me explain. Here we go. Now, the nature of the deal that we look to strike with Nike affiliated players goes as such: they get a percentage of their own shirt sales at the club. Apparently, the deal that we had in line with Mbappe. Was discussed was he would get 20% of all sales of his shirt for our club. Now can you imagine how much money that would make on top? So the wages don't have to be as high, you see, because they project the sales. And so that's how we can get the player at the wage we want and they can still get the money they want. So it's a happy cake and eat it. But Haaland is a Nike player as well. So Haaland can have that deal. And also Sancho is a Nike player as well. So I think Mbappe, Haaland, or Sancho could still be viable options without any of the others going because it says that Klopp doesn't want...
Without Champions League?
Well, that's another conversation, actually. But what I will say as well is that today they concluded, I think Maria sent me that, where that LeBron James is now partner officially, you know, but what that is part of as well is he's part of FSG as an investor, but what that is part of as well is... part of the red, that investment of the $750 million that was coming into the FSG, which was earmarked to strengthen Liverpool and Red Sox, their two biggest existing assets, as well as acquire new franchises as well. So there's a lot of money coming in, right? And they have been saying, they don't normally say this as outright as they said it recently, but they have said, we are going to go big. Even all those haters sort of like, you know, under the cosh, you know, regional journalists have said that Liverpool are going to go big in the summer. They said that in January, weren't spending. They are going big in the summer.
But it doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, blow a whole bunch of money on one particular player. So I don't want to hear you lot talking about Mbappe, because just please stop it.
I just did. Not, did you not hear my argument?
No. The reason why I'm saying about Mbappe, please stop the Mbappe thing. I've asked you guys, please.
Nicely. Okay.
Because,
sorry.
You know what? It's because... It's just, like, just look at the money of the transfer that wipes out all of the... They don't buy players that are, like, you know, that level straight away. You know,
I don't think Mbappe should come either. I was in the camp Mbappe for a while, but I'm not sure he's even right for Liverpool, to be honest.
What?
I mean, he's obviously... No. Wait, hear me out. He's obviously right.
That should be shut for our podcast.
That's why you should video. You should put the video.
Oh, that was amazing. That look was incredible.
No. He's obviously right for the club in terms of his ability and so on. He's incredible. We know that. But I just think he's too big of an ego for Liverpool, you know. And I don't know if they can cope with him.
Ego?
I don't know if he could cope with being there.
Have you just not seen Salah?
Like, yeah, but he's become that diva. And look at the mess he's creating.
And we've got Thiago as well.
Thiago's not a diva.
Thiago, no matter how bad he plays, he always looks surprised.
But Thiago's not an Mbappe, is he?
No, but Thiago knows how good he is because he's won the league every season he's played football.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, I'd be pretty confident too. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'd be confident of winning the league if I was at Barcelona and Bayern for the majority of my career.
Yeah, but what I'm saying...
No,
but what I'm saying is if that's all you've known, this is a shock to him now. Because if that's what you've known, you're not going to think, he came over here, we won the league last year.
He needs to humble himself then.
Out of all the big name players that are available, I think Sancho is the more reasonable.
He's going Man United. He's done. He's a done deal to Man United.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
But I heard today a horrible, horrible story, Chelsea, which I could see happening, which is horrible, is that Chelsea want to do a Werner swap with Haaland to put some money. And I can see that. I can see that. That's horrible.
I can see that happening. The player, I don't think
he'll go Chelsea.
Dortmund.
Yeah, why? It's London, though.
It's London. I can't see him going to Man United. I just don't think they're going to suit the way that he plays. I think the players have to actually be reasonable with that, because in the days, like, you have to look at Van der Beek. Van der Beek is a very, very good player. And
was
he's a good player?
No, I don't think you.
I'm joking.
Very,
I'm
very good.
I just went into perplex mode.
We need to qualify when you say very, very good. Does that mean you're saying they're elite? Yeah, but are you saying they're world class, elite? What level are you talking about when you say very, very good? Who else in the Liverpool team is very, very good?
Don't say Ox, please.
Yeah, because if that's the level you're talking about,
if we got Van der Beek, like, I would be absolutely...
No, but I think you should answer Cass's question, because I like that question.
Well, I tried to avoid it with him.
Because you said that last time as well, when you said we are going to have a very, very good season if we finish...
Oh, here we go. I knew it was
four. And it's just like, that's not a very, very good season. That's an acceptable season. And that's what I'm wondering. When you say very, very good, you just mean that...
No, I said very good season. Because of the injuries that we've had.
I want to hear the transfer question.
I'm not going to take the bait.
No, answer Cass's question. The other question.
Who's the equivalent player of him?
Yeah.
Just give us a level. When you say very, very good, who is very, very good?
I think Gini's very, very good. I think Gini's very, very good.
I personally agree with you, but just so that everyone knows the level that we're talking about, because when Dre says very, very good, he uses that for everything. So he can say we had a very, very good season when we won the Champions League, but then he can also say we had a very, very good season if we finished top four. So he's got a very broad term.
Let me just make sure I make this crystal clear for you. Right. We would have a very good season if we qualify for the Champions League with the season that we've had, with the injuries that we've had. I think with the majority of teams...
You're qualifying it. That's the difference.
What do you mean?
With the season we're having, it needs to be irrespective of that. You're good.
No. At the start of the season, then that's a given. But I'm saying the situation that we were in right now, where at the start of the season, that's a given. We should be winning the league. We would expect to be in the at least the semi-finals of the Champions League. That's what I'd expect us to be. So Champions League wise, where we are at, I'm not doing cartwheels, because I expect us to be there. However, I do recognize the fact that with the season that we've had, injuries that we've had, the key players that are out, that it's extremely good season at the moment for us to be
he threw in that extremely.
Yeah,
I'm
putting this
superlative.
Because in the days, if Tottenham, hold on a second, if Chelsea are patting themselves on the back for getting to the quarterfinals right now.
They're not. You're saying they're patting themselves on the back. They've not said anything.
Man City are. If Tottenham got there, then they'll be patting themselves on the back. If Man United got through Red Bull Leipzig, they would be patting themselves on the back.
Liverpool are patting themselves on the back as well.
Look at what we're missing.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
I'm with Cassia.
Whatever you accuse other teams of doing, we do the same, and you never ever acknowledge it. Like, we're all patting ourselves on the back for getting on the quarterfinals. That's fine. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Right.
I don't see how you don't, with
the shit show that we've had with injuries.
No,
I don't see. Do you not give us credit?
Let's go back to transfers.
Ungrateful. Last podcast. Okay, can I throw one name in that has come up this week and I think it would be a good signing and it's relevant to what we've been talking about? Christian Pulisic.
You don't like Cass. You don't like sickness, and you want Pulisic.
Let's deal with Let's deal with the two things. First of all, that's not pie in the sky.
Why would Chelsea let him sell him to us?
Because they're going to buy someone else.
Tuchel doesn't like him. He doesn't play him. He didn't play today. Tuchel does not like him.
Why would they send him to us?
Because they sell players to their rivals. They
just want money.
They think they can buy better. That they would sell Werner to us if they thought they could get Haaland. I don't think they will, and I don't think I want him.
I don't think there's any issue with Liverpool and Chelsea selling to each other.
Yeah, we sold to them. They sold to us. It's not an issue.
No, we sold to them because we had no choice. Because that treacherous. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Anyway, we sold them. We signed Morelos off them, or we sold them. I can't remember.
We sold him Morelos.
Mm. So it works both ways.
We bought Victor Moses on loan. They gave away Sturridge, but they could have not. They could have not.
We're way behind them in the league. It doesn't matter. Listen, Pulisic has worked with Klopp before as well. That's the other thing. So I think Klopp would want him. I think he would be more achievable than some of the other names.
Make sure you mention his injury. Sick note is against him.
But he's in a different position to. He's not a central midfielder. He's more of an attacking winger.
He's a winger. He's like left. He plays left and right, but better on the left.
So wait a minute. So that signing makes no sense. You know why? Because Mane and you got Jota.
Jota plays through the middle.
Jota plays in the middle mainly. Anyway.
Mane good enough anymore?
No.
You lot got an agenda. There's an agenda.
Mane's not good enough.
Mane's awful. This
they want to get rid of all the African players. That's it.
I'm keeping Salah. What do you mean?
Okay. Yeah, so the North Africans are all right.
They're like the West Africans.
Chale, I'm going to come and score you, man. You cannot be saying stuff like that.
I'm keeping Salah. He's African. North African. Yeah.
Okay. Don't worry. No, I'll tell you what. In fairness, who have you got that's African? You're right. Dre, you're right. Literally. You know what, mate? I've had it with you.
He's just figured that out now.
I'm just saying what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You got to call it how it is sometimes.
Maria, you see it.
I'm glad you did.
Maria texted me and said, you know what, I'm a bit uncomfortable.
Maria agrees.
In fairness, we're talking about signing more African players anyway, so...
Who? It's not no, we're not. Who?
Bissouma.
You mean as in we're talking about it or we're officially talking? The club is officially.
No, you mentioned it. I've read a few reports about him.
Bissouma, I don't care where he's from. I 100% want him in. So, yes, sign him up. He would be ideal.
But, Cass, this is what I was saying to you last time when we were having this discussion about if we miss out the Champions League. And you were saying that what type of crap signings we're going to be getting.
Yeah.
But I think that Bissouma is the type of signing that we would get. It's not like big time, but he's a decent, efficient signing. Like Ndidi,
how much do you think Bissouma and Ndidi would cost us?
I think Bissouma probably would cost us probably near
28, something like that.
No, more than that, near 50. That's the thing. Not a chance.
I would say a minimum 40. Let's say reasonable 40, 45.
All right.
He would cost 50, I think.
But he's
good. He would cost 50. He is good. But he would cost 50.
Yeah, I can't. 35 max.
No, we're not talking about the actual real value.
Transfer Market has told you that he costs about 15 million.
What's he saying now? What's it? Yeah, what are they saying?
It probably says more.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, see? 60.
What?
67.
Oh, get out.
There you go.
No, That's their financial loss. No, that's not how it's going.
What's his value?
I'm trying to find his value. One second.
Ndidi or Bissouma would cost us upwards of 50 million.
Now, let's say in theory you got those two.
Let's say in theory,
someone like that. I think then you've got a solid midfield. I think you've got a solid base. Let's say, all right, okay, one of them is going to replace you.
No, I agree.
Obviously, we've got Thiago next season as well. Hendo will come back. I think that's a very, very strong midfield.
I worry about Hendo, to be honest.
I think that's a wrong move to get Pulisic. I don't see. What
Pulisic can play as one of the front three as well as in midfield. I think that's why.
And he's good for that number 10 position to create.
Exactly. You could play all of them.
Ox can do it.
I don't think so. Suki, have you got any defensive players that you? Because I think we still need to sign a central defender, regardless.
I do think we need to sign a central defender. There's been a lot of talk about Varane.
Yeah, and another one. There's a new guy that.
How old is Varane, by the way?
Whoa! No, surely not for Bissouma.
No.
No way.
No, you see.
I thought
he was going to Fabrizio.
No.
Just for those who's listening, what's the gentleman's name that you go?
Navi Indy Kellier.
Fabrizio Romano is a legit one. Indy Kellier, he brings him out every 2 minutes. because he says the stuff I like.
He's the KFC guy.
How many times has he actually been right?
Every time, because he says
All he does is confirm stuff that is already known, and he just acts like, oh, I broke the news.
If it ain't from Melissa Reddy, if it ain't from, what's the other one that we listen to?
James Pierce.
Yeah, he's a killer, though.
Although he's a joy killer.
He comes out with confirmation. We don't like that. Suki,
hit me with some defenders. I need some defenders.
I actually don't know. I think we need to get rid of some of these players. I'd potentially get rid of Matip. I don't want injury prone players there. So I'd have Van Dijk, Gomez.
Do you want to hear a new name, by the way? A new defender we've been linked with today. No. Seriously, today. It's an Inter player, Serie A. It's a young player called Alessandro Bastoni.
This is nonsense.
He's worth 43 million.
He's coming up with all these Italians, though. What's his name?
Rodrigo De Paul. He plays for Udinese, the number 10.
He's
a baller, by the way. And he is literally. Bruno Fernandes on steroids. He's Argentinian, you know, South Americans, they do well in the Premier League. They tend to do well in the Premier League.
I think we really missed a trick. We should have signed Bruno Fernandes when we had the chance. He would have been goals from midfield.
I must admit, I dislike him, but you're right.
He would have been a fix to a lot of problems, especially this season.
Yeah.
And I think
even just for the sake that Manny would have suffered without him. Imagine if he hadn't have gone there, that club would have been. Who would they have been now? I mean,
were you in for Fernandes? Apparently, but
we don't want to pay the money.
I think the other problem was that we were doing so well at that point that he probably thought, I don't want to bring in a big name. And that's my big worry. If we win the Champions League, that he's going to think, oh, it's all right. We don't need to make major changes. We've got enough here. And he's got that mentality to just think it's fine.
Cass, that's the one problem I had with Klopp where he used to say those things. And I thought that was dangerous from a long time ago. And I did say this when we first started the podcast, where he starts to say, well, I don't want to bring someone in. If they're going to be
hinders the progress,
yeah, it's going to hinder the progress of others. Yeah. Or I don't want to promise them first team football. It's like you come in and you win it, and that's the thing. It's like you're supposed to buy these players. Look, how many players have gone to, like, Henry went to Juventus, couldn't get in the team, so he went to Arsenal. It doesn't mean that you're a bad player in any form of way because you can't break into a team, but it's that team's job to be bringing in players who, if you're looking at the bench, as Omri said, and he looks at the bench, when he looked at the bench, he saw Kanu, he saw other players who can actually come and do a job as well. And I think that keeps your level up. So what I worry about is that if we're getting players who aren't really a threat, like to the front three, then we're going to get back into the same position. I don't want Jota getting comfortable. To be fair, though,
you didn't think Jota... Oh, let's be honest now. None of us thought Jota was a threat to the front
three. I knew it straight away. I was just like...
No, you didn't. Mate, come on. Dre, come on. None of us thought, until he played, we're like, oh... Because remember, we all...
No, we knew he was good.
Surprised.
Everyone was excited about Thiago.
Exactly. And also, when what's his name? Pep Linders said, yeah, we put him, he has the same skill set as Mane and Salah at the start of the season. And our front, and everyone was laughing, saying, come on, Jota, like Mane and Salah, da-da-da-da-da. Everyone thought it was being so... And now everyone's like, oh, okay, maybe. Maybe he has. Maybe he's... You know, so...
But that's, like, what, that's the plot drop. That's what I'm saying to you guys, is that although I do laugh at your indie killer, whatever his name is, what I do think is that those players where I'm like, who... Those are the ones I think we're more likely to be able to signing.
Sure.
I don't see them going for no name players. But the only time, but I do think that there's a space for Sancho. I do think that he can come in and do something. I think he could do the stuff that you guys were.
Sancho will be over 100 mil though.
Yeah, I mean
that's why I think he's only going Man U, because Dortmund won't lower that fee because they don't have to. You know,
Dortmund might have 23 as well.
I think it'll be Chelsea. I don't think he's going to go back to Man City, but I think Chelsea would be the one. I think Haaland will be going to Man City.
I think Kane is going to move this summer as well, and I think he will go to either Man City or Man United.
Boy, it depends if Mourinho's there.
I think regardless, I think
another I think he's done. I think he's done.
Trophy, yeah.
I think he's done.
You could kind of tell by his body language at the end of the Arsenal game that they lost. That it was like, this team ain't going to win anything.
Yeah, he's playing for a deal.
How old is he?
He's 27. He's got one move left. Yeah. He's got one move left in him.
He'll go City, I think.
I think he'll go.
Well, I hope he would, because then that would leave Haaland.
If Haaland goes, but Haaland will go Chelsea. If that happens, Kane will go City. Haaland go Chelsea. Sancho will go. Man U and then Mbappe come to us, and we just have to do that. But
this is what I'm saying. I think what happened over the last year is that we, as Liverpool fans, and this includes Cass, we all became deluded and coming out with nonsense.
You coming out of Haaland,
and I was like, why in the situation that we're in, if we don't make the Champions League? Forget it. Just forget it.
First of all, I was saying it when we were in the Champions League.
I was saying it from that point on,
and it's dragged on since then. So that's not delusional to suggest Haaland at all. It was actually one of the best decisions that we could have made. But
we went for Minamino instead.
Yeah, we went for Minamino. I mean,
I think
for 7 million though, I can't understand 7 million.
I think we need a goalkeeper as well. Actually,
A number two. Yeah, we do. Adrian's
Adrian's going.
We need a backup right back.
Adrian is going.
I don't think he's going to be. I'm not convinced. I think he's good as the third choice who can maybe step in every now and then.
But you guys were talking about, at the start of the season, you guys were ranting and raving about
He knows he's a revisionist, he can come in easily.
So don't you think that, I'm asking you guys, do you not think that Brewster, Maria, actually let me ask you.
No, but Trey, let me ask you about Van der Beek. If you think that, you're saying,
but hold on a second, I'm just asking
if you're
Maria,
saying Van der Beek.
I'm just, let all me right, ask right, Maria. Right, these, go guys, on, these guys,
sorry,
these
I'm guys, just posting stuff on Instagram.
These guys are asking about saying that it's Brewster's time, and they were so shocked when he got sold.
But he's done well,
and they
he?
Said, oh no, what's going on? And you know, this is a travesty. Do you think that we should buy him back, maybe, and he can back up the front three?
No.
Front four?
No, I don't know. What a loaded question.
What a loaded question,
Dre. What is this question?
Now, hold on now.
I mean,
That's disgusting.
It's a bit of a difficult one. Cass
ain't saying nothing because he knows.
Wait, let Maria answer because we've not let her answer.
Let Maria answer, yeah.
Well, let's just let Maria answer today.
Well, as in, hashtag. As in let Maria always, answer.
Hashtag.
I'm not hashtag that.
No, I have to say it because I know someone's going to jump in, especially Dre, is going to just jump in and ruin the question. So I say let Maria answer, as in Dre, shut the fuck up.
We can bleep that. Bleep. Yeah,
in hindsight. Should they buy him back? No, I don't. I don't think he's the answer to. Just, I mean, he's got. What do you see in him?
Oh,
that he's...
Of course. Don't fall for it, Maria. Don't let.
Well,
him...
I mean, no, it's fine. Go. Tell.
Was you impressed with when he was there, like you know, playing under? Did you think that he was going to come in? You know, because obviously he's part of the whole trophy parade and everything like that. I was just thinking, yeah,
because he was part of the parade.
There's a lot of fans that were saying that he's the next big
okay.
thing.
Okay, Andre Dixon, sit down and listen to me right now. I am going to educate you once again, not for the first time on this podcast, not for the first time, this podcast. I'm going to tell you about a man called Rian Brewster. Now, Rian Brewster is part of a generation of footballers known as the next golden generation, of which also include the player called Foden, who you also don't rate, by the way. So, guys, when he says Brewster's not good, he says Foden's not good. Let's just bear that in mind.
Ellie's using my tactics.
Correct. I'm learning it. I'm advancing my game.
He's turned on you, Dre. He's turned
exactly.
on you.
And we got also, and Foden, and that one got player of the tournament. Brewster got top goal scorer in the under-70 World Cup, which England won. Brewster scored two hat-tricks, one in the quarterfinals, one in the final. Foden got player of the tournament. Hudson-Odoi was in that team as well. Okay. Jadon Sancho was in that team as well.
Has to move to a different country.
All right. Anyway, yeah. So you were just talking about signing him and saying it'd be a good signing, but anyway, that's another
story. Hudson-Odoi, where's it going for him?
He's doing well. He's doing well. Chelsea.
He played tonight,
and they won the three.
Did he?
So anyway,
the last 2 minutes.
And then Brewster got a loan last year. Went to Swansea.
Yeah.
And he was arguably the most devastating striker in the second half of that season. Swansea weren't doing that long.
Premier League? Or?
No, in the Championship. No, in the Championship, okay. Right? Okay. Then,
Robertson as well. You keep exactly. saying, we can sign from the Championship because that doesn't mean they're not good.
What it means is that even Origi could go through and blast a few goals.
Okay. Then in pre-season, when none of our other so-called top strikers, which we all love and still rate, were letting us down against Salzburg, 2-0 down, Brewster scored a double and saved our butts. This year.
I'm going to cut the Brewster chat short because I don't think we should be spending too much chat on Brewster.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's move on.
That's cold,
but it's fair. It's cold, but I can argue them.
Thank you, Suki.
Fair enough.
That's not me agreeing with Dre, by the way, and his terrible loaded questions.
I'm going to remind you of this for the rest of your lives.
Before we finish.
Wow.
So, Chelsea and Bayern are now through, which means we've got all 8 quarterfinalists. Who do we want for the semi-finals? I think the draw is happening
Friday. Yeah, tomorrow. Friday.
Well, it will be when this comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be same day.
It'll be same day. After the draw. There's your deadline, Dre. 11 on Friday. Otherwise,
ungrateful. Ungrateful. Yeah. Go on.
Who do you want, Cass?
Do you know what? Right. I think we had quite an easy draw against Red Bull. I don't think they were that good. But I also have to say that I think Man City got a really, really easy draw because Borussia Mönchengladbach were awful against them. So I would, on paper, I guess Porto are the easiest team left. But I kind of want us to face Man City and get it over and done with because if Man City win and we don't have a say in it, then I just feel like there's just going to be a missed opportunity for us to have a say in Man City winning it. Like, if we can be the ones that knock them out, then to be honest, I don't care who else wins it. I don't want Chelsea to win it either. But if we get through to the semis and both Chelsea and Man City are out, I don't care who wins the Champions League.
I agree with your logic, but I wouldn't want to play City yet. I think we'd still build our confidence. I wouldn't mind playing them in the semis. But not quarters.
I want Chelsea versus City next game. That's what
I mean, that would help eliminate one of them. I think Bayern would be the hardest team to face, definitely.
at the moment. Yeah,
I think actually Dortmund aren't that great at the moment either.
I'd take Dortmund. I'd take Chelsea.
Real Madrid, actually, yeah. I'd rather have Real Madrid. A glory tie, and but then I think I actually would be argue. They'd probably be the easiest, actually, because at least Porto, you know, they're going to work hard. They're going to fight like they did against Juventus. Real Madrid ain't going to fight. You know, they're going to rely on their quality and stuff. So, which isn't actually that great at the moment. They're third in La Liga, and it's been a dismal season in La Liga for all those teams. They're behind Barca, and Barca have been horrendous, really. You know, and so, like, they just aren't playing well. They've had, to be fair to them, they've had a lot of injuries, key player injuries, like us. So they're starting to get them back again a bit like us. But I would say Real Madrid would be one that I'd think, because it'd be a glamour tie that everyone would get up for, but it's a very winnable. And then next game, I agree with Cass, like, it'd be good to knock out Man City. So I would definitely, if Man City get through to semis, I would love that to be the next one.
We need time for our Hendo to be able to come back. So
we need squad.
But I fancy...
Did we talk about Klopp confirmed 100% that Van Dijk and Gomez are not playing this season?
I don't believe
him. I don't believe him.
When it comes to Klopp, you guys are so... You believe every... hang on, every word he says when it suits you. And then when it doesn't suit you, then you start, oh, he's dying.
No, that's not true.
Definitely. Definitely.
Van Dijk was kicking a ball today.
He ain't playing.
Van Dijk was kicking a ball in training.
No, but the national team... But the Dutch national team seem to think he's coming back. And he'll be... he's their captain. He'll be telling them something. He's not going to be like,
I don't see him not coming back. If he can come back from the Netherlands, he can come back for us. So,
if we're in the final, he's on the bench.
No,
if we get to Champions final, he's on the bench.
So we don't believe in Klopp. We don't believe in Klopp.
No, we love Klopp. Don't fall for it.
Message to the audience, though, with things like injuries, he always plays pessimistic.
Always plays pessimistic.
He kept on saying that players would be back, they're on schedule and all of that.
Only because he generally thought they were. Like, no. And I think that's made him even more pessimistic. Since then, Klopp doesn't even tell you when they're due back. He just keeps it quiet.
What about the fact that they said they hate the new training ground? Isn't that...
Let's go back to...
Who said that?
They said they hate it. They blame it for part of their form.
Who do?
Where'd you read that? Where's your source?
They've not been there long enough to be able to blame it on their form, surely.
Well, I don't know if it's a mental block because they've been there gone so badly since they've been there that they're like, oh, we don't like it.
They're blaming the ground.
They definitely say there's issues there.
Let me go back into the Champions League draw. I agree with you guys about Real Madrid. I think we can, that's a fair fight. I think also, obviously, Porto would be, I think that's a fair fight as well. I'm going to go for Leipzig because...
We just knocked them out, bro.
Dortmund, sorry, my bad, sorry. Going back in time, innit? The wine is hitting. No, I'm going to go...
It took him a while to realise as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andre Dixon.
You know what you should have done? You should let me carry on going.
Oh yeah, you're right.
After that Zidane thing, you can be quiet in particular.
similar.
not even similar. This is worse. Both wear Adidas, that's probably maybe. I would go with Dortmund because I watched a lot of German football and I think that they... defensively, they're not sound. I think that if Leader Phillips plays as well as he's playing alongside Kabak, I think that we've got enough to be able to beat them and get them on a counter attack. Those are the ones we're probably not going to get them. We're probably going to get Dortmund or something like Bayern or something like that. I did it again. We're going to get Leipzig. That's what we're going to get.
We spend 5 minutes talking about Dortmund and
we'll get Man United.
Dre's done.
Yeah. Wow. Sammy, can you send some of that stuff my way, Dre? Whatever it is. You know what I mean? My gosh.
I've got to get a bit merry here.
Yeah.
Dre, what are your thoughts?
I'm with Cass, I think, on this one. Let's get some of these big ones out of the way. Hopefully get them out of the way. And if we lose against the big ones, at least we can say, well, we lost against the big ones. So what did you expect, guys? But get the big ones out of the way and then take it from there.
So you want City?
Yeah.
So you want City next?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm not sure if you guys have seen, but there's been a lot of comparisons made with our season this season to the one of 2004-2005.
Yes.
I think after 27 games, we were on 43 points just like that season. We only qualified for the Champions League that season for the next season by winning it because we finished outside the top four. The final was in Istanbul.
Yes, it was, yeah.
And that's the final this time. And it was the last time Messi and Ronaldo weren't in the quarterfinals.
Mm. So, and there's one more sookie as well. We beat a German team to get to the quarters as well.
That's true, yeah. And we beat a German team to get to quarters. So there's a lot of signs in there. Where
there's a lot of signs. I mean, obviously, I was too young at the time to be able to remember this. But
maybe.
I was a child. So. Mm. But no, that's true. That could be. I mean, I'm not a superstitious person. But,
it's you know. What I said last time when, like, Dre and Eddie started crying about it, that you don't need to be the best team in Europe to win the Champions League, because it's not about that. It's about being able to get through these rounds, having a bit of knowledge and having a bit of luck, and having a player, someone like Salah, can turn it on and win us the tournament. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance of us winning it, even though we're not the best team in England or in Europe.
But this is the first time I've actually looked at the other teams and looked at them right now, and they're far, far better than us at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Because before you were saying, oh, I'm not scared of anyone in there. I'm not.
What, in the Champions League or the league?
Right now, yeah. Here and now.
In the league or Champions League?
In the Champions League. He's looked at it and he said, there's no one in there that can beat us. But I think Man City and Bayern are miles, miles, miles clear of us.
No, I was going to let me clarify what I was saying here.
But they are.
Full team, full squad, fully fit team. Our first choice team. I don't think many people beat us. Our favourites.
But Bayern and Man City probably will.
Well, where we... No, not with our fully first team.
No. If Man United could beat Man City 2-0, man, then we could beat them. I'm sorry. We could beat our team.
Full team. We can beat City full team.
For sure. We had the number.
I think City had a great run, but I also don't think it's the same City as 2 years ago either.
No, definitely not.
Which Tottenham beat as well in the semis.
That was cold, by the way, when they beat them. When Spurs, I just saw it, because I saw it today. Someone had the highlight. He goes, one of the Man City players says, that's the day football died for me. But could you imagine that, though?
I can imagine it, because I hear about it every single week from Dre about VAR. And, oh, we were robbed by this and we were robbed by that. So it's exactly the same.
Conspiracy.
Sookie's
part of that membership. I'm telling you, and recently,
I have a recurring subscription to that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm there.
But you just don't want to see it. You are British media who don't want to see, don't want to handle if that some referees are biased, and they are. And even one who came out and said that we're biased for Man United with Fergie.
Hamburg.
All that referee said is that he was biased towards Man United. He didn't say being against Liverpool.
Isn't that not enough?
That's enough.
Outrageous.
It's not enough to turn that into an anti-Liverpool conspiracy.
I don't think there's an anti-Liverpool.
6 points.
We've just had a crazy amount of decisions go against us. But
yeah, exactly.
It just confirms what I said, that the referees are not good enough.
No, so, biased. Not just not good enough. Biased.
Guys, Sookie's trying to say something very important.
Sookie tried to keep a tight ship and keep it under 1 hour and 30 minutes, but it's not happened, has it?
Sorry, we've got to wrap up.
Dre's run out of control. It's been out of control again.
Dre's blasphemy throughout. So this is a good point to end on. I don't want to get into the whole VAR debate again. So thank you all. We've got 2.5 weeks off, which is a long time.
Enough time for everyone to see that everyone's against us.
Yes, I'm hoping there's a lot of players that need rest. There's a lot of players that need rest, so hopefully people
are... Gray needs a rest.
Moon landing,
9/11, and these referees.
Wait, what are we going to talk about next episode? Are we going to do an episode, or are we just going to skip it?
We're doing international. We've got to do the one.
About 40 minutes talking about Champions League. We can't talk about it
international.
Again.
We're doing internationals. Coming back.
We never know who's going to be fit by then.
Week before the comeback.
Give the people what they want.
Sookie is an England supporter, so we should...
We better do that. Yeah, we do
England
games.
England report from Sookie.
That's right.
Free lines report.
I'll do the African Cup of Nations report. I'll do the
Portugal game. Just to say my striker's playing in that game. So I'll do
Cristiano?
Yeah.
How dare you?
And one. How dare you? Mino.
No. I'll move on from that very quickly.
Where's Ox playing? Where's Ox playing? Which one he's playing?
He's playing for the Three Lions. That's
all right. How come he's not playing?
What? How dare you? Listen.
No, but you're saying
your one can't even get to the car park without getting injured.
He's captain of his country, so you can say what you want about him. He's captain.
Anyone can be captain of that if they just turn up.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
Like
oh,
no.
He turned on the whole continent.
Oh, no.
Suki, wrap it up. It's deteriorating rapidly.
Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Cold.
If we're still
Bye.
Out.
Bye.
See you later. Take care.